Sanskrit, can you say something about the language itself, in just a few words, and in relation to
yes,
the classical Sanskrit?
The epic Sanskrit is just in the middle of the Vedic Sanskrit and classical Sanskrit. I will just cite one example. Nivasishyasi Kaunteya. Nivasishyasi. Now, classical Sanskrit will not have Nivasishyasi. Classical, what will classical Sanskrit have? Manidasji, Nivasishyasi, is it correct or it is not correct in classical Sanskrit? Ataurdvang nasanshaya. Nivasishyasi Kaunteya ataurdvang nasanshaya. In classical Sanskrit it will be Nivatsyasi. Nivasishyasi will be considered to be wrong. There are so many such things in epic Sanskrit that are not usable in classical Sanskrit, because classical Sanskrit is supposed to follow the Paninian description or Paninian whatever sutras. If they do not follow, people will not accept it. That's what it is. We will talk about it also tomorrow. But epic Sanskrit, there is quite a lot of freedom. Sometimes metrical freedom is also there. Shloka is to be of 8 syllables in each pada. But sometimes they have 9 syllables. Sometimes maybe 7 syllables. In Vedas also there is something like that. What we call Gayatri Mantra, this is also deficient by one syllable. Tat Savitur Varenyam. How many syllables are there? Tat Savitur Varenyam. 7 only. So that has to be made up. Of course, modern linguists will call it Zephyr's Law. But we have our own law, and that is Iya. Varenyam is to be read out as Varenyam. That is what is prescribed by Pratishakyas also. But this is also called Zephyr's Law by modern linguists. So, Trayambakam Yajamaya, there also some people call it Trayambakam, some people call it Triambakam, and some people just Trayambakam, they also did it. But by Trayambakam, it is again deficient by one syllable. So we have to do it like Trayambakam Yajamaya. It is full shloka in there. So the this epic Sanskrit lies in between the two, and there is, of course, in the grammarians' view, there is a lot of freedom enjoyed by them. But in a linguist's view, we will say that. That is a departure from the Vedic language, which has Vedic language. What is it? That constitutes distinct feature of Vedic language. What is it? The multiplicity of forms. In Vedic, you have multiplicity of forms. You have what? We have just tumun in Sanskrit, tum, kartum, gantum, patitum. Vedic has so many forms, se, asen, asen, kse, adhyay, adhyayin, tavai, taveng, kartavai, kartave, patitavai. All such forms are there. So the Mahabharata or Ramayana, they have some relatively, they have lesser forms. That multiplicity is not there, but there is some freedom, and there are more options in the epic literature than available in classical Sanskrit literature, beginning with Kalidasa and others. So that is the distinctive feature of this. So if you want to find purely Paninian Sanskrit in the Ramayana and Mahabharata, you will be disappointed. It is not there. It is there, but not fully. There will be so many exceptions to that, and options, so many options are there. Nivasishyasi is there, Nivatsyasi is there. Both will be there in the Ramayana, in the Mahabharata.